I'm Lori Jacob. My husband is Bruce Jacob. I'm sure you've heard him speaking a couple times, but it is going to be my turn this Sunday, and boy, it's been a while. And I was just like, God, I don't know. I've had this word on my heart for quite some time, but yet I could never get anything for it. Or, you know, like, because I like to have my 3 points. I like it to just fit perfect so you can go home and be like, oh, yeah, this, this, and this. And it wasn't happening for me. So can I just talk to you this morning from my heart? My husband just texted me and he said, trust the anointing. And I was like, thank you, because I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit just to say whatever. So, Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that your Spirit is here, that you can say to these people what you want said, even if I don't use words. Lord, give them revelation. Let a spirit of revelation just rest on these people, that they would see, that they would know, that they would feel you. And I thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So, what I read this morning over the men was Ephesians 3, 16 to 20, and it's in the Amplified Bible. But when I was just doing my reading, my daily reading, this verse, verse 19, stuck out to me. It says that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ. Amen. Which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. This is what gripped me. And as I was reading this, I probably read it and read it and read it, but that just kept coming to me, and I felt like God said to me, I want my people to experience me. Did you step out of the boat this week? Did you walk on the water? This is Bruce's message last week. Did you walk in the supernatural? Did you feel the kingdom of heaven move in your life this week? Did you think like the mind of Christ? Did you demonstrate the true righteousness and holiness? These are all things that, did you represent God? Let me tell you, you did, whether you know it or not. But, and it, sometimes we go, no, I didn't. I just want this to be encouraging to you. Please let this be something that inspires you to know God more, not to be like, oh, I can't do that. I don't do that. And I don't have the time. And I don't want that to be this. I want it to be encouraging to you. I want Holy Spirit to just come alongside you and you can feel his hand in your hand and you can walk and be like, okay, what are we going to do now? Experiencing him. You know, all those things that Bruce talked about are from experiencing him. Peter walked on the water. Well, he was with Jesus. Now, he was physically there with Jesus, so that's really nice. And then, but, you know, didn't Jesus say, you know, it's better that I go away because I'm going to send Holy Spirit. Now, doesn't that not make sense? That it doesn't make sense to me because I like physical. And Jesus saying, I'm going away to send you somebody you have to come into a relationship, but you really can't see him. But you can. But you know what I mean? I was like, man, I could see why the disciples were like, no, you can't leave us. We need you. You're our king. You're going to lead us to victory. You know, but he said, no, I need to go so that I can send Holy Spirit to all of you. So in that verse, The word to know, that you may come to know. And don't you just love the songs? God is amazing. And I've heard this from time and time again from every speaker. When the songs are on, you're like, oh, this is my message. Oh, this is my message. People give words. Oh, thank you, God. First he does you, and then he teaches you. You know, he's amazing. That you may come to know, practically through personal experience, the love of Christ. To know. That word know means to experience. The biblical know is a deep, personal, and relational connection. It's a deep connection. It's a personal connection. It's very relational. And I think sometimes in this culture now, especially even after COVID, it's been easier to not relate with people. You know, and not to have the deep connection. Because I can grab my phone and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, they'd be like, great, I don't have to spend any time with them. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I think I love that I can touch a lot of people in a day through a text. But that deep connection is what you're looking for with God, with love. God doesn't want relationship. Hold on. Don't persecute me. He is relationship. When I thought about that, I was like, everything he is, love is relationship. Joy is relationship. It's experiencing peace. He is relationship. So when it says, actually, okay, let's go to 1 John 4, 15 to 17. Whoever confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Okay, mine might read a little different, sorry. And he in God. We have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. In this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we. Okay, this could be a year's worth of speaking already. But he is relationship. And when you come into relationship with him, see, to me, we have so cheapened salvation. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We've said, you've got to go to heaven, or you don't want to go to hell. It's not about, do you want the most amazing relationship in your life? Because that's what this is about. Salvation is about the most amazing relationship with love in this world. It says, if you confess and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, sounds like salvation, right? God abides in you. God abides, or he abides in you, and you abide in him. There it is. There's salvation. Once you say, wow, I need God, then he says, all right, I'm here with you. Like Kathy's word, he's here. He's with you. One of the things, and I'll touch on it later, is always know he's with you. He never leaves you. That can be one of the things that we for surely know. But we don't want salvation just to be about going to heaven or about going to hell or not going to hell, or in some cases going to hell. If you look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And a lot of times we look at that and we say, oh, thank you, God, you sent your son so I don't have to die. I can go to heaven. That everlasting life, that eternal life, if you go to John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, that they may have deep connection, that there may be strong, intimate, personal connection with him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I want to know you more. We sang that this morning. I want to know you more. And I like to put, I want to know you more. Because can we have more of him? Yeah, well, he's given all of him to us, which is, but we want to know him more, right? So salvation is obviously foundational, and being with him is foundational. And Mary and Martha is a great story, which is found in Luke 10. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet and is listening to his teachings, right? And Martha is so busy fumbling around and saying, Jesus, why won't Mary help me? And he's like, hey, she's chosen the better part. And there's only one thing needed, is being with him. And that should be for our life. I think sometimes we can jump into a church and then get so busy that we forget to be with him. It is amazing how many pastors have said they have no time to be with God. How many ministers have said at ministers' conferences, I just heard another speaker the other day talk about how the pastors are like starving, and that's why they love to go to conferences, because they'll have time to spend with God. And I was like, how do you lead a people, you know, without spending time with God? And I love, does anybody know Todd White? Todd, do you guys know his story of how he started? I didn't know this, but if you know Dan Moeller, I guess his name is, he recognized the calling on Todd White's life. And he said, Todd, I want to pay your salary every month so that you can work for me. And he said, oh, really? What am I going to do? And he said, 6 to 8 hours a day, you're going to spend time with God. I guess Todd White's wife worked at a hotel. So he said, I want you to go find an empty room and spend 6 to 8 hours a day with God. And if you look at Todd White's life now, it's amazing. And I'm telling you, people that did great things, or people that are doing great things, are spending time with God. And I don't think it's any coincidence that God gave me this word. Because I believe this is going to be a body that's going to spend time with him. And we're going to see great things happen. In Daniel 11 and 32, it says, the people who know their God shall be strong. You're going to be strong, and you're going to carry out great exploits. Because we are going to be a people. He is wooing us. Look, on Sunday mornings, I can't hardly contain myself from the presence of God that I feel. Singing, be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. Do you know what I go through? I'm in heaven, and I can feel the praises from day one all the way up until this time. All the people that are praising God, that many years, he's saying, man, I gotta go back. These people love me. I can feel that presence. It overwhelms me. And I'm like, oh, I think I get this. Because it's so great. Jesus said too, he said, when if I go, you guys will do greater works than me. Whew. So you know what we don't want to do? We don't want to just settle for knowing about God. We don't want to settle for just knowing about God. The Jews knew all about God but didn't recognize him. In John 5, 39 to 40, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. They didn't recognize him when he was standing right in front of them. You know, and sometimes I think, and I don't want this to be too heavy, because we don't want to know just know about God or know what somebody else says about God. And we're going to talk more about that later too. But one of the biggest things in this verse that I love is, you're not willing to come to me. Well, flip it around. Jesus said, come. He said, come, all who are thirsty, right? He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come. What? I mean, look at Adam and Eve. They hid, right? They hid in the garden because they did something wrong. And I still feel like God was just like, come, let me help you walk through this. You've chosen this path. I'll help you. Come. Come to him. You guys, knowledge won't change you, but experiencing him will transform you. It'll transform you. And I'll tell you my little story of this transformation that happened within me. And I've told this before, but I still feel like it's so effective. I was sitting at the table eating, and I thought about somebody, and I was just like, oh, they're just so drab. Ugh. And yeah, I know, me. Just kidding, lighten up. No, so anyway, so I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I see Jesus sitting in my chair there, and he was just like, I just love them so much. And it melted my heart, because that's the love he had for me, the look he's had at me, but he had that for that person. And I was just like, never again will I look at somebody and say, oh, you know, think terrible things, because he made them and he loves them no matter how they are. You know, so I love his transformational work when you experience in him. We also don't want to be need-based only. And what I mean by that is, the only time you talk to God is when you need something. You go to bed and you say, God, you know, I need a new car, and I need a new job, or I need, you know, a lot of our prayers can be need-based. And I was thinking of Job, and I was like, I wonder if Satan attacked him because he felt like the only reason why Job, you know, was serving God was because he had everything he needed. He was so blessed. You know, and then that's why he came to God and said, hey, if you took away that stuff, you know, everything he needed, what would he still serve you? And of course we know that Job remained faithful through it all. And sometimes I think, you know, we think also that being having our needs all met, that we're approved of God, and that's so not the case. Your, what you get not, is not acceptance. You're accepted. Just live accepted. Don't try to get acceptance. Live accepted. He accepts you, whether you do or not, or you get or not, or you just live with him. So when you live need-based, Jesus just becomes your servant. And we don't. When our needs aren't met, then some people blame God and then they feel rejected. So I want to switch into, like, how do you experience him? You know, because we can say experience God, but if you don't know how to experience him, then it's kind of all for naught, right? Because we there's a lot of things. You're seated in the heavenly thrones. Okay, yeah, that's great, but what does that mean? You know, you're more than a conqueror. Okay, that's awesome. That sounds like power. Okay, so experience. I loved, God walked me through my life, and he gave me like words. He'd show me mercy, and then, because I'd be like, what's mercy? What's mercy? You know, and then he would, you know, obviously, you know, well, maybe you don't, but some of the general meanings of it, but until you experience it with him, do you, there was this couple, I was asked to pray for this couple because something was happening in their home, and I said to God, what do I pray? And he said, pray to have mercy upon their home. And so I did. And then I found out that what was happening, because they weren't saved either. And then what started happening was completely the opposite. They were like, wow, everything stopped. The turmoil stopped. And I was like, have mercy on that home and on those. And then I was like, God, well, why would that happen? They're not even saved. And he says, because mercy is, they don't get what they deserve. And I was like, wow, no wonder mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, experiencing him, experiencing who he is, experiencing his tender mercies. Had a cousin, gets into a motorcycle accident. His brain is blowing up. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm emotional about this. I don't know how to pray. What do I say? And what came out of my mouth was, have mercy on him. And I was like, that's it. I knew it. From that point, I was like, he's going to be fine. Because I knew God would touch him, and he is fine to this day. He's got more kids and family and growing older. So, but experiencing him. So how do you experience him? I'm going to walk you through, I'm going to be vulnerable with my own life and walk you through some of my experiences, walk you through some of the things that I feel like Holy Spirit was showing me. And hopefully this will help somebody experience his presence. Because if you feel like you can't hear him, if, you know, I've heard so many, I can't hear him, I can't see, I can't do any of that. You can. You can, and it can happen for you. It's, I feel like it's a journey for me, because before it was really hard. Now I feel like it's getting way easier for me to hear his voice. But that comes with spending time, right? Anytime you spend any amount of time with somebody, you will start to know them. So, the first part that I want to talk about is in experiencing him is in Hebrews 5:14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I believe that we have spiritual senses, okay? And in your maturing process, you're gonna practice using those senses. And they're gonna be exercised to discern good and evil, Okay? Now, this is solid food. This is something that when you've come to know him, and then you're like, okay, I want to move further in my relationship with him. So I believe, like I said, we have spiritual senses. That means seeing, hearing, touching, taste, and smell. Now, seeing is like seeing into the spirit realm. Okay, and I think that sometimes in the church is a hard thing too for people. They don't want to see into the spirit realm. But look at in the word, how many people saw angels? Ezekiel and John saw heaven. They went to heaven. If you want to, like, read the word, you'll find that a lot of David wrote, you know, he's my shepherd. He'll lead me by streams of living water. He'll lead me. He guides me. You know, he's seeing these things. He's seeing. Now, I believe, like, taste goes with it. So, because it says taste and see that the Lord is good. I like a lot of the taste is the action. And then revelation. But I love, like, what the taste says in the Passion. Drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies. Experience him. Hearing his voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, when he speaks, it builds your faith, right? Because you're like, wow, that happened. Practice hearing. Practice seeing. A lot of times in here, in service, I'll look around and see. My grandson today comes up to me and he says, Nana, I think there's angels up in that corner. And I was just like, yay, he's practicing seeing. Practice seeing in the spirit. Practice hearing. You know, say, God, I want to give a word to Tammy. What is it about, what can I say to Tammy that would touch her heart right now? And then go and say, hey, Tammy, God, once he gives you something, he shows you something. Actually, he just showed me a golden scepter that he wants to give you. There's a lot of authority with that. And you, oh, that's really good. You guys have been on authority, haven't you? Now that I think about it, that, amen. But practice, because then you'll start saying, oh, that you'll be like, okay, you know, like if I'm with my friend Lori or something, I can be like, did that jive with you? Is that what, you know, and she can be like, yeah, or, you know, and then you're like, okay, I'll keep practicing. Keep practicing speaking. Do it at home. What you see, and then start speaking it, you know, like, oh, I see rivers of living water flowing. And then, you know, then start speaking that. I see the rivers, and they're touching, and they're growing, and they're coming up alive, and they're making my body fully alive and whole. You start seeing, touching. I loved what Kyrie just said about camp. The best part about the service was Holy Spirit touched them, and they were crying. Crying is a big part of Holy Spirit touching you. Your body tingling, your body getting hot. You know, there's a lot of different ways that Holy Spirit touches you. And I know, like, when I used to go to camp, some of the kids would come to me and they're like, what's going on with me? They didn't understand the shaking, the, you know, and I'd be like, oh, that's Holy Spirit. And then they'd be like, oh, it is? I'm like, he's touching you. Let him just touch you. You know, some people really love that, and maybe too much, but know that he's just always with you, whether you feel it tangibly or not. You know, I like tongues, and I feel like Holy Spirit, for me personally, is drawing me into tongues more, and tongues
has a lot to do with listening. You know, and then this is in my personal time and in listening to the Holy Spirit when you're speaking in tongues. So if that's another way, you know, you guys, if you like to pray in tongues and want a deeper connection in that way, go ahead and start trying 10 minutes just listening to Holy Spirit, but praying in tongues. You know, Paul said, I will pray with my spirit, but also pray with understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but also sing with understanding. And I believe a lot of my mind quiets down when I'm in speaking in tongues. I don't think of a ton of other things. It's quite an amazing gift. Smell, you know, and I've heard from, I've smelled like incredible wood burning smells. And then I've also smelled like a sulfur smell. And I found out later that that can be a demonic presence, you know, so smelling can help you discern. Tasting, you know, I know like with tasting, I feel like in a lot of visions or experiences that you might have with God, a lot of times, like they said, eat the scroll. You know, in the Bible, I think it was it Ezekiel that was supposed to eat the scroll. You know, so there's a lot of things that can happen in the spirit realm that have to do with your senses, but it's just being aware and open to God. Now, the biggest thing for me is spending time with Him. And I was just hanging out with Barb last week, and we were just talking about how we've got to spend time with God and not, you know, because I'm getting good at this being busy thing and including God in my day, even when I'm busy. Well, especially like when I get to come here and clean for hours, I can put on my headphones and worship and just be like, yeah. And or if I don't have that, then I can just be like, you know, I'll just be talking to God. There's been plenty of times where I've been just talking to God. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you can make this a standard for your life, it says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. This is out of the Passion, sorry. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Become intimate with Him. Spend time with Him. And how you spend time with Him is read His Word. Read the Word, but read it with Holy Spirit. Read it with Jesus. You know, and then you'll start seeing your identity. You'll start seeing that your identity is in Christ. And I would suggest, if you want to know what Christ or who Christ is and what He did, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read with the intention of knowing who He is. Because those, if you, I just saw, I think Chris Vallotton put it on, the person, oh, I can't, no, maybe I shouldn't say it because I can't say it how he said it. It matters so much what you think about God. It matters so much what you think about God. If you think He's up there judging you or is legalistic or... that's what's going to come out of your relation. You're going to always have that feeling of I'm not good enough. I can't perform good enough. I know for me growing up, that was a lot of my life and it was nothing to do with my parents, because my parents were great parents, but I just got this performance thing that if I didn't do something perfect, that, you know, or I thought God was going to be smite me if I did something wrong, you know. And it was what we were taught in church that I think, you know, you're not worthy, you're a sinner, those types of things that kind of framed who I thought God was. Not that you're accepted, you're loved, you're holy, you're righteous. You know, come to me, I'll help you with anything. And that's where like the letting go of stuff and just being like, okay, God, that's not going to help me get to life. So I need to choose to say, okay, that can't change, because you can't change the past, right? cannot change the past. So you have to say, I got to step away from that and say, how can I affect my future now with life? And do the opposite. So worship and praise, obviously, right? These are all things that we've been told throughout our life. You know, praise him, just praise him. Well, praise him with a different, you know, sing to him. One of the things that I love about our church mostly is most songs are directed to him. You get to sing to him. And then one of the things that I love to do is picture him. I think it was Justin that sang, with just one glimpse, everything changes. I'm just like, and sometimes I can't even look in your eyes because it's just so much love. You know, and I'll be picturing that, I'll go to, like I said today, the throne room and feel the presence of everybody. But when you're praising him, let it be a worship between, and it's kind of funny because he'll be the same thing to me. He'll be like, with just one glimpse, he is enamored with you. He loves you. He's in love with you. He just wants to be with you more than you want to be with him. He's amazing. Pray. And all praying is talking to God. As you would a friend, talk to God. This is what I'm trying to teach the kids. We don't have to have a form or something that we got to say. Just like, sometimes I'll be like, God, what you doing? What have you been doing all day today? What's going on? And sometimes it's amazing what I hear. Talk like friends. Ask him questions. Tell him what you're going through. The word says to ask, seek, and knock. And I love ask. Ask him anything. He loves questions. Listen then when you ask. And sometimes I get answers. Sometimes I'll be reading the word and I'll get an answer. Sometimes a friend will come to me and tell me, oh, and I'll be like, oh, there's my answer. And that's why I like seek. Because I was like, God, well, what's seeking? And he said, look to see him. Look to see him. I love it. Look to see him in people. Look to see him in your circumstances. Look to see him in your place of work. Look to see what the answer that he's trying to, who likes to look for all those pictures and those books, you know, like you find this wrench and you got to sit, you know. Sometimes it's being purposeful, though, practicing seeking him, hearing him, seeing him, and knocking. I was like, God, well, what is the knocking? And I felt like it was like someplace you may not have gone before, but you're like, all right, God. Because he said he'll open the door. He'll show you. He'll take you in your time of moving forward in your relationship with him, in deeper connection with him. I loved it. The word also says to pray without ceasing. Talk with him continually in everything you do. Practice talking to him. You'll find that you experience him so much more. I missed him the other day. This lady comes walking into Hobby Lobby and I was like moving my cart over because she's like, oh, I just want to go the shorter route. My knees hurt. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she walked by me and I was like, oh, she just told me her knees hurt. I was like, I should have prayed for her. You know, so I'm trying to get, I want to get this practice of you know what? I didn't even have to have a word of knowledge for that one. She told me, you know, I could have just said, and actually, I pray for her knees right now that they would be strengthened in Jesus' name. But, you know, look to see him, seek him, knock, find out, you know what, do we know everything about healing? No, we don't, do we? Seek him on it. What is it, God? You know, learn. At Bible study, I liked one of the questions that they had said was, how has Jesus manifested himself to you?
And that I was like, wow, that's a great question. Because I ask people, you know, what's your relationship like with God? But maybe that's a better way of putting it. How has Jesus manifested himself to you? And I just was like, oh man, he's my friend. He's my counselor. Oh, he's my comforter. He's, you know, and I just kept going, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And I was like, thank you, God. Because I love my relationship with him. I'm telling you, he wants to relate with you. And everything he is relating. Receiving. You know how they say, just receive. And I was like, God, I don't know how. And I finally figured out, I just say, God, I thank you for your joy. I thank you for your peace. In it even if it's, because I don't know, I was looking, always looking for a feeling or something to happen. You know, I'd knock over or whatever. But I was just like, no, just receive. I'm like, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I thank you. There's never a waste of time being in his presence. There's times that I have tried, you know, to spend time with him, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what to do now. And I think that's probably why we don't continue. But I know in a lot of cases, there's this one time I spent about an hour, and I was praying in tongues, and I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything, I didn't feel anything, and I walked out of there going, oh, I probably just wasted time. And then I went and I ended up talking with a friend afterwards, and I was like so amazed at what God gave me for her. You guys, there's never a wasted time. There's never a wasted moment in his presence. He is filling you, changing you, touching you, filling you to overflowing. You know, how full is full? Is that full? What's full?
Overflowing.
Overflowing is what we would all end up saying is full. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You are overflowing with Holy Spirit, full of light, full of glory, full of peace. You do affect, you do bring the kingdom of heaven wherever you go.
Hallelujah.
Always know, I'm going to say it again, always know he is with you. Always know that. He's never leaving you. Even if you don't feel him, he's with you. Because nothing you can do can separate you from him. There's not one thing that can separate you from him. And he wants to help you through any difficulty you're going through. The more you spend time with him, the more you become like him. What you behold, you become. And as he is, so are we in this world. And I've been asking God, what, it says, as he is, what are you doing right now? And that's what I can be in this world. That's a powerful statement. Guys, he changes you. He restores your soul. He restores your soul. He restores your mind. He restores your emotions. Anybody ever been too emotional? There's times I come in service and I'm like, oh God, I'm so tired. I'm just going to cry this whole time. So can you please just restore my emotions so I can just worship you and receive from you without it being something that I think, oh God, so moved on me when I'm just so tired. Yeah, anybody ever been there? And it's amazing because then I can just receive and hear and
And he's amazing. He restores your emotions. Restores your mind.
Thank you, God.
Don't see your life apart from him. Don't see your life apart. You weren't created to be apart from him. In him we live and move and have our being. You know what? In him, when you spend time with him, that's where you get your healthy identity. That's where you lose every insecurity. And I'm a testimony to that, because I would never stand in front of you and talk. I'd never have the boldness, the confidence to do this. But the fear of man has been broken off me. You know, and I just want to do what God wants me to do. But you'll become fully secure, fully confident, fully affirmed. You won't need affirmation from people, because you know who affirms you and who receives you. And then you come to a place where your past, your circumstances now, can't dictate your life. I like this phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Because you know what? Once you see it again, you're like, nah, I ain't going there. Forgiveness, or dealing with unforgiveness for me, and I hope this isn't too proud to say or whatever, but I don't deal with unforgiveness much anymore. I notice it right away and I'll be like, oh no, God bless them. God, pour out your spirit. I will not let unforgiveness step into, because I've let it. And I have let it drag me down, and I've let it take me to places that are not healthy. And I know, now I know God walked me through this process of forgiveness, and I can stay free from it. And I can walk free from forgiveness. And that, from unforgiveness. And that's the power of God in your life. You will see yourself not having to deal with sin in your life, because your spirit man just takes care of it, and you learn to live in the spirit where the flesh cannot live, cannot survive, and will not come out. It's such an amazing place to be. It's such an amazing revelation of a relationship where he's done it all for you. So if you'll stand with me, I feel like this is probably not much new for you, but if you take anything from this and maybe let God just churn in your spirit of, how can I spend time with you? How can I develop this time to be spent with you, where I can know you? Because I believe we really are in a time where God is drawing us to him. He's wooing us and inviting us into a deeper relationship, a deeper connection, a deeper personal connection that's relational and intimate, where he can see into you and you get to see into him, where lives change because you are free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. And this is going to be a body that's going to be free. And we are going to encourage each other to be free and live free. I thank you, Father. So what I would like, you know, Mother's Day was just a month ago or so, somewhere around in there, and my kids wrote me letters. And you know what? There's nothing like hearing words from your kids of how much they love you and
what you mean to them. And it really touched my heart. And I thought, this is how God is. When we just raise our hands and say, Father, I so love you. I so thank you for taking care of me and my family. I so thank you for what you, when you just simply tell him who he is and how awesome he is. You know what? His heart, my heart even for me, oh, I just love them. I want to do anything for them. So I would love to, if Austin, you can put on a song, but if you guys would just take some time and just love on him. Just spend some time with him. See if he says anything to you. See if he, Lisa said at, she was at camp this week and there was a couple girls and she walked by him and said, Jesus is gonna give you something tonight. She's like, I wanna know what it is. You know, so tell me after service. But if you wanna sit down and picture Jesus bringing you something, you know, sometimes it can be life-changing. Sometimes it just can be sweet. He's so good. But I also want, if you want to get saved or salvation, I want to give a salvation call. If you want to know him and receive him into your heart, I would love for you to come forward and just say, hey, that's me. I want to know him. Like you guys know him. Okay, and you can find Tammy, will you raise your hand? Brenda, will you raise your hand? Will you raise your hand? Lisa, will you raise your hand? You can go to any one of these ladies, or Barb, if you'll raise your hand. You can go to them even and say, hey, Gary, I'll point you out for guys. John, can I point you out? If you want to go to them and say, I want to give my heart to him. I want this relationship. I want to experience him. But otherwise, just take some time and then you're welcome to head out and enjoy your father. Either father or your father. All right. Bless you all.